pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
When a person authentically accepts Christ and the simple gift of salvation that he's offered, what Jesus is saying is that a spiritual miracle takes place. And so that which was dead becomes alive again, and your living spirit has communion with God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit. And one of the first things that he does is he tells you you're a child of God.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear today's message in the series called Praying with Power, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching in the series Praying with Power. Here is Alan Wright.
I started this thought with some interesting words from Phil Yancey's new book on prayer, in which he quotes some of the surveys that consistently show that Americans almost all of them report that they believe in prayer, about 80% or something like that. And about 75% to 80% say they pray. If you ask them during a given week, have you prayed? So that's a pretty astounding number. It means that there are reportedly more people that have prayed in a given week than have driven a car or gone to work. So prayer is really important. And yet, if you ask those same people, how do you feel about your prayer life? And you ask them, do you find your prayer life to be fulfilling? They'll usually say, no, not really. You ask them, well, how long do you pray? And it'd be, well, a few minutes. And so how could it be that something that we find so important, yet we don't feel fulfilled in it? That's a good question, isn't it? And I began to suggest a couple weeks ago that part of the problem is maybe that our prayer life is too shallow, that we're not connecting up in our prayer life in the deepest way. Here's a scripture that Paul, as he is talking about the spiritual armor, he concludes by saying, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, now just notice that. The sword of the Spirit, okay, there's the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Spirit and Word. Spirit is in the Word. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. And he goes on to ask for prayer for all the saints and for himself. And I focus us in on that command from the scripture to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And I think Paul is specifically talking about the kind of prayer that gets hooked up with the Holy Spirit, with God himself. And that's different than a lot of the way that we end up praying. And to understand this, I have pointed towards several places in the scripture, but here's one simple example of this, where Paul says that it's his desire, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Implying here that we, as born-again Christians, we are spirit, soul, and body. That some have thought, well, maybe we're soul, you know, we just have the flesh, and then we have that kind of spiritual part of that soulish part of us. But here and in a number of instances in the scripture, we see that there's actually a distinction between spirit and soul, and so that as human beings, we are tripartite. We have these three parts. Now, you can take this to an extreme and try to overanalyze, you know, what's spirit, what's soul, what's body. But on the whole, the idea is that we, when we are born again as a Christian, that what happens is a spiritual thing. In other words, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus is talking to him and says, unless you're born from above, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. You won't see the kingdom. You won't be a part of it unless that happens. And so Nicodemus says, how is this possible? Well, a man can't, is he supposed to enter his mother's womb again and be born again? No. And Jesus says, I'm talking about spiritual things. What he's saying is that spirit begets spirit. And what happened when sin entered the world is that we became so shut off from God that we were spiritually dead in our sins. That's why Paul says, I was dead, now I'm alive again. The spirit was shut off from God in such a way that we truly say we're dead. Because when Paul says I was dead, it doesn't mean that my body was dead, because the body was alive. It doesn't mean that my mind was dead, because you were thinking thoughts. But so what's he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual life within me had died. And when a person accepts Christ, whether there's something really big emotional that happens, or whether something happens physically in the body, whether any of that happens or not, when a person authentically accepts Christ and the simple gift of salvation that he's offered, what Jesus is saying is that a spiritual miracle takes place. And so that which was dead becomes alive again, and your living spirit has communion with God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit. And one of the first things that he does is he tells you you're a child of God. And when we receive this spirit, Paul says, it is by the spirit communicating to our spirit that then we cry, Abba, Father. And so you did not receive a spirit that leads you into fear and slavery, but it is a spirit of sonship, Paul says. So this is what happens, is that we become spiritually alive. And the way in which we get revelation from God is by the fact that now we are spiritual beings and God is spirit. So God is spirit, and whoever's going to communicate with God is going to do so in a spiritual way. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, your carnal mind does not discern the things of God. This is only for the spiritual person. So this is what we're talking about here. Now, one of the ways that you could just begin to understand this in just simple terms is some interchangeable words. The flesh is often used for the body. The mind is a kind of a concept, including the intellect, the will, the emotions. And often in the scripture, you'll see the word the heart. And many, many times, that's really referring to the spirit of a person. Use the example of, imagine that there's a young man and he is riding down the road in his brand new convertible. The top's down. It's a beautiful spring day. He has his girlfriend in the car. They're holding hands. He's got a new job. Everything is just wonderful. And so he is feeling the pleasure of the warm air on his face and the pleasure of holding this beautiful girl's hand. And so he has physical pleasure and he's happy. Because his mind is happy with all the circumstances in his life. The only problem is that both those things, the hand holding and the warm breeze, the blowing in his face, and all of that is very transient, isn't it? Because he could turn around the next bend and it could start raining. And now he's got to stop and put the top up, and then the thing might not go up properly. And now he's in a bad mood over that. And then he gets in a fight with his girlfriend and she breaks up with him. And so he is no longer happy. So happiness and pleasure can be blessings, but they are not reliable things. But there's something that the Bible calls joy. In fact, Paul says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And there is a thing of the Spirit that's a fruit of the Spirit that is joy. And that's something that is not based on our circumstances. And it's not based on our mind being able to understand everything. It is something that is communicated to us directly spiritually. That's why I've seen people who are dying who have joy. That's why I've seen people who are on their way into the operating room and they have joy. Their body may not be feeling good. They may not have what you call happiness, because they may be in the middle of some grief about something, and yet down deep there is a joy that is in the Holy Spirit.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Prayer. As a Christian, you know it's important, and you want to make it a priority. But if you're like most, your prayer life can slip so easily into routine, lacking fervor and passion. Maybe you're wondering, what is the key to praying with real power? In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul has a clear answer. Pray in the Spirit. But what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Some would say that Paul is referring only to the spiritual gift of a supernatural prayer language. But in Alan Wright's unique series, Praying with Power, Pastor Alan reveals 5 different ways of praying in the Spirit. Discover how praying God's Word is praying in the Spirit. Learn how to listen to the Spirit as you pray. Come to see Jesus as your prayer partner. It's practical, it's powerful. Get Pastor Alan Wright's Praying with Power and discover the power of praying in the Spirit. Change your prayer life and you'll change the world. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
And the kingdom of God consists of righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just one way to look. Here's another way to maybe consider it, is that there's a thing called comfort for the body. My body likes to be comfortable. If it's cold, my body wants to find a nice fire and curl up around. I mean, that's, you know, I like a hot tub. I like a good meal. And there's something also that the soul can experience, that satisfaction, you know. You know that thing that you feel when you work hard towards something to get some circumstances fixed in the right way and you get things going, and then you accomplish it and you're satisfied. That's a good feeling, isn't it? That's a good feeling. There's nothing wrong with comfort, nothing wrong with satisfaction. But again, they're temporary. But there is a thing that's called peace. And peace, Jesus said, I give you not as the world gives you. But it's a peace that passes understanding. It can bypass the mind. Even when you feel like my world is falling apart around me and I don't have all the things that I know that I need to have, and yet I've got what I really do need, and I feel at peace, and somehow you just have a sense everything's all right deep within you. See, it's a spiritual peace. It's a spiritual thing. That's good. Now, one more way of just trying to make sure we understand that. You get something when you're born, you get a brain. And I guess they're trying to figure all this out, but I guess there's a certain amount of genetics at work in the cerebral capacity that we have. But there's a physical thing there. But then as you grow and you learn, you gain knowledge. And it's a wonderful thing to get more and more knowledge, to learn to do things. But isn't there something else that's called wisdom? Isn't there something that's really of the Spirit? Have you ever known there's a person who didn't have much education and much knowledge, but boy, they had the wisdom of God, you know? And so there's something that gets imparted to us spiritually. So here's just a kind of a summary way to say this. What happens, I believe, is that God, in His love and in His miraculous intervention in the life of human beings that He loves so much, there's some kind of miracle that takes place. And we can get into the theological nuances of this, but something happens where light shines into the darkness of that which is dead. There's something that happens that God calls into the tomb. Lazarus, come out. There's something that happens that quickens miraculously the life within you. And what happens is you're now spiritually alive, and your spirit, your heart, apprehends what the mind cannot comprehend. And you got to apprehend the revelation of God. It's not something you can just figure out with your mind. It's something that just you get a revelation that comes into your spirit. And until this happens, there's so many things in our life that don't get healed, that don't get changed. It's just like the difference of me saying, well, you know, God loves you. And you say, yeah, I know in my head God loves me. But if you get God to commune with your spirit and you hear God say that he loves you, your life is changed by that, isn't it? And you can apprehend the revelations that you couldn't comprehend with your mind. And what happens when you apprehend some good news? This happens to me in worship. It happened to me today. It happens to me all that. When your spirit being begins to receive from God, well, what happens is I start feeling elated. That's part of what happens, you know? And people express that differently. And somebody might shout, somebody might smile, somebody might cry. But it begins to show up in your mind and in your emotions. And then it can show up physically and you get goose pimples. Now, you know how that is, you go around, you know, something touches, you know, and you're just like, ooh, yeah, like that. And you look and you're like, look at that, look at the goose pimples, look at there. Well, the goose pimples themselves don't do anything. They are just showing that something has happened to the spirit, has happened to the mind. And how crazy, how silly would it be to go around and make it your spiritual pursuit to get goose pimples. That like this is my whole goal, is to see how many times I get goose pimples. Because you know, you can get goose pimples. I mean, somebody can probably come up with a drug or something that makes you get goose pimples. But it's nothing has happened. This is just a demonstration. What this is to say is that I believe God is calling us to grow up in Him on an ongoing basis so we become more spiritual people. In other words, I want my spirit, the part of me that is born anew, the part of me that Paul says the old is gone, the new has come. I'm a new creature in Christ. Now, my body's not new. It's getting older. And my mind is being made new. And therefore, there's much that I know now and that I understand because my mind is being transformed and being renewed in the ongoing relationship with God. But so I don't think the same way I thought 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, I thought differently than I did 10 years before that. And I hope 10 years from now, I'm going to think differently. I want my mind to become more and more conformed to the likeness of Christ. I want my mind to become more and more conformed to the Word of God. But what I believe is that my born again self, my spirit being, my spirit, that part of me that Jesus said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. There's something inside of me that's always willing, meaning desiring, wanting, always wanting to pray, always wanting to worship, always wanting God's way, always wanting God's purposes, always wanting to commune with God, always wanting to be a receptacle of His joy and peace, always wanting to flow in the anointing of God. Oh, that's the part of me that I want to grow into living out of more and more every day. So in other words, what I want is I want my spirit being that apprehends truth from God to tell my mind what the truth is so that I live out of that truth. And I like my mind to inform my body as what to do. And see, most people just do this just about backwards. See, we get trained up in our crazy culture thinking that the body's what it's all about. And we sit there and we're inundated with all these messages about what we're supposed to look like. I mean, we pay the people that can take their body and shoot the ball and give them millions of dollars. And we say, this is what we value. Now, I love sports and it's a lot of fun. But in the scale of things, it's so unimportant. You see, we're mixed up. And so we grow up thinking that that's the way it's going to work. But you know what? If you look to your flesh to live your life, you're going to live not only at a low level of what God wants, you're going to get low level blessings. That's what they are. Temporary pleasures are low level blessings. They're low level because it's not the stuff of eternity. It don't last. And you wind up frustrated. You wind up frustrated and you find out that they don't truly satisfy. You know, now there's nothing wrong with such pleasures. I mean, it's wonderful to have a great meal, isn't it? I mean, to be hungry and then just have a great meal. I mean, a feast on something. That's just great. You know, but then you're sitting there and you're like, man, I'm stuffed. And I never want to eat again. You're stuffed, but you're not satisfied. I mean, all these things are like that. It's just low level. And what happens, though, is it if we obey our flesh, then we never, it sabotages us from getting over to the high level blessings. You know, I mean, I don't know why I keep using this example, because I'm making too much of it, but I'm just using the example of, as a preacher, I mean, just be honest about it. Is there mornings where I'm really tired, Sunday morning, and my body doesn't want to get out of bed and go to church. But I'm glad I don't obey my flesh, because, see, I'd be out of a job then, you know, if I did that very often. They say, listen, you know, we need a preacher that shows up. I mean, that's first thing you got to do is show up. And so, you know, we all at some extent go, you know, I can't be ruled by my body, or I won't have a job. My kids will be out playing in the street. I mean, you just, you know, you can't do that. But yet we can gain more and more mastery over that, only to the extent that I allow myself to be a spiritual person who hears from God and have my mind being informed by the Spirit of God. And so I'm trying to make it my resolve. And not only I don't want my life to be lived according to the flesh and carnal things, I don't want that to be the thing that rules me, you know, but also that I don't want to be ruled by my soul. I don't want, just because I don't feel happy in a given situation, I don't want that to determine whether or not I'm going to worship and pray. Do you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is, at some point in your life, you got to decide what you want to rule your life. What are you going to obey? And what I've realized is, you know, my mind, I'm being transformed, but I'm not what I'm going to be. What I want is, I want the mind of Christ to be speaking to me so that I understand who He knows that I am and live out of that. In other words, I don't want the mindset of a fourth grade boy in a divorced alcoholic home who developed shame-based thinking. I'm not going to rule my life out of that. I want to rule my life out of what the Spirit of God is saying to my spirit about who I am. I want to live my life out of what God says about who I am. See, our thinking, we're too twisted up. You can't be the slave to your old stinking thinking.
Alan Wright. And today's teaching on praying God's Word.
Prayer. As a Christian, you know it's important and you want to make it a priority. But if you're like most, your prayer life can slip so easily into routine, lacking fervor and passion. Maybe you're wondering, what is the key to praying with real power? In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul has a clear answer. Pray in the Spirit. But what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Some would say that Paul is referring only to the spiritual gift of a supernatural prayer language. But in Alan Wright's unique series, Praying with Power, Pastor Alan reveals 5 different ways of praying in the Spirit. Discover how praying God's Word is praying in the Spirit. Learn how to listen to the Spirit as you pray. Come to see Jesus as your prayer partner. It's practical. It's powerful. Get Pastor Alan Wright's Praying with Power and discover the power of praying in the Spirit. Change your prayer life and you'll change the world. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Alan, in today's teaching, Praying God's Word, we're finding that there's agreement here, right? You're not going to, when you're praying in the Spirit, it's going to agree with what the Word has to say.
Well, I always, at every one of our new members' classes at church, I have them do a little juvenile thing. And maybe if somebody's listening right now and you're not driving a car, you could do this. Hold your hand just an inch in front of your mouth and say the words, "Let there be light." Well, I always ask the question, what do you feel on your hand when you speak? Well, you feel your own breath. Why? Because our words are filled with our breath. And interestingly, the word for breath in both Hebrew and in Greek is the same word for spirit. And so it is that God's Word says of God's Word that it is God-breathed. The scripture to say it's inspired means it is breathed into by God. In other words, the Bible is spirit-infused, spirit-inspired. So if you pray the Word of God right back to God, you are praying in the Spirit. You're praying what the Spirit has already uttered. And so it's one of the most powerful things you could ever discover in your prayer life is to pray the Scripture. It's very different than just praying out of our own little thoughts or our own soulish ideas. The Word of God is timeless, and when we pray God's Word back to Him, there is spiritual power. That's one of the ways we pray in the Spirit.
Today's Good News Message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.